Hey there, folks. This is Kevin Kessler from Two Men in the Mouse. Thank you guys so much for joining us for Two Men in the Mouse Classic. What you are about to hear is an old episode from the very beginning of Two Men in the Mouse with our old server. They actually started pulling down episodes after episode 100, but now on our new server where we have unlimited space, we're able to bring these episodes back for you guys. So just so you know, as I said, they are old episodes, about 3 years old at this point. So the information and news is not current. You know, these are for entertainment purposes only. So thank you guys so much for joining us, and please enjoy Two Men and the Mouse Classic.
Oh, up and at 'em, pal. Oh boy, are we glad you're here. Big doings going on, so let's get started. See you real soon.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
How are you?
All right. We are two lifelong Disney freaks who have kept the magic of Disney alive in our everyday lives, and we want to share a little bit of that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete, what's going on?
Not much, in a Disney mood?
Yes, absolutely. We just perused Pete's latest family trip to Disney's album. And got me definitely in the mood to talk some Disney here tonight.
I will also say the recent snow also makes me long for the warm air of the Disney World.
Yes. I was actually earlier today looking at some of my pictures as well, and you know, just reliving like the day I proposed to my wife, which both of us actually proposed to our wives in Disney World.
Yeah,
and
both in Magic Kingdom, right?
Both, and I think in almost the exact same spot.
Yeah, I like that.
We were like right up front because it was like a deserted day, and there was literally, I was going to go to your spot, which when you're facing the castle, it's off to the left, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to do that, and then I just noticed it was like the end of September. It was September the 23rd. I actually remember the date, and there was nobody there. Like, the park had been open for maybe like a couple hours. We were there at like 11 o'clock. And I just rushed right over. And my wife's a photographer, so she's wanted to take pictures of every little thing. Eventually, you know, we should have our wives on to talk about those days.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, mine was the polar opposite. Mine was December 29th, so it was holiday week. It was maximum capacity.
Right, because you get the New Year's crowd coming in.
Yes, and also 32 degrees that day.
32
in Disney World, not fun.
Wow, so you guys were like dressed in sweaters. And do you pack a sweater when you go?
I do now. At the time, I did not. And the funny thing is, they did not sell a lot of winter clothes.
Well, I would assume not.
Where now you see a little bit of it, but at the time, you didn't see hats or gloves or anything. So you basically, everyone was dressed like me. You wore every single piece of clothing you had. And I did not do this, but everyone wore socks as gloves.
Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine.
I'll never
that.
Forget saying it.
I could not imagine that. Your wife wasn't wearing them, right? So you couldn't like put the ring on her finger.
No.
She was wearing socks on her hands now.
We couldn't go the sock route. We were young and we still roughed it in the cold.
Yeah, I would have too. You know, when I was a kid, actually, and we're getting off on a tangent really early. I was in Disney with my family, and we're in Animal Kingdom, and it's torrential downpouring. And my mother pulls out the Disney ponchos that she bought, and she's handing them out. And I'm 18 years old, so you know, I'm just like, you know,
oh, you're not wearing a poncho.
No, I was just like, let it rain on my head. And it did for quite a while. So folks, the basis of this podcast is Pete and I are just looking to share the latest Disney news, give some reviews, talk about things, just to help you keep the magic of Walt Disney World and the Disney universe beyond it in your lives every single day. You know, I know I'm always constantly looking for things to pack into my life that have Disney meaning behind it. I read blogs, you know, I listen to other podcasts, you know, Lou Mangello's podcast obviously being the biggest one, and that's the one that actually inspired me to want to create this show. Not ripping him off, I swear to God, I don't have the production value that he does. But, you know, like, I'm sure you do the same thing, right? Like, I know you don't listen to as many podcasts. You don't know what a podcast is, really.
No, it's true. You know I have a problem with Disney merchandise. I enjoy it too much.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no such thing as enjoying Disney merchandise too much.
Tell that to my wallet.
All right, folks. So, moving right up here, I think the biggest thing to come out of Disney in the last year or so has got to be the My Magic Plus.
Definitely.
Yeah. The wristbands that are basically now your key to the world. Let's talk a little bit about the wristbands. I think it's a great idea.
Have you done the wristbands?
No, I haven't done them yet.
You had the card.
We had the card. When my wife and I went last time, it was not this past September, but the one before that. And we were only there for 3 days, but we were selected to beta test the FastPass okay. Plus. So, you know, I wasn't even really sure what it was, and they gave us cards, and we had to just hold the card up to
right.
The...
We had the bands.
Okay.
We went in October. My concern was, as a parent of two small children, they have to wear this band constantly and not lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Went off without a hitch.
Really?
I actually was pleasantly surprised.
Now, like, let's go, like, the band comes to your house, right? It's in a
yeah,
nice
box, it's in a beautiful
right?
box, yes.
Okay, so take us through it. Like, you open the box, what do you see?
Well, first you need to go onto the website and you need to customize your band.
Really?
Yes.
So you which, decide like the colors?
Which honestly is fun. You have to choose the color.
Did you do it as a family, like gather everybody around and choose your colors?
Well,
and...
I am a bit of a micromanager. I did the entire thing myself, but I let everyone choose their color.
Okay, cool.
Your
was there main... any like was there any like butting heads over who wanted blue or like
no, believe it or not, it worked out perfectly.
What color did you have?
I went with orange, which is my favorite color.
Cool.
There are seven colors. I had seven people in my party. So I managed to swing it that everybody had a different color.
Wow.
It worked out well.
That's excellent.
So that part's pretty fun. You get to pick a color. If you're on the website, you can pick a character avatar for yourself on
the... Right, on the app, right?
Yes. I mean, it went. That part's really fun. It went well. And then mm-hmm. they show up at your house, and they're in a beautiful display box.
It's got your name on the box, right?
Yes, like has your name on the box.
That's so cool.
Your names are imprinted on the inside of the bracelet.
I've actually seen people, I mean, because you can use your band for multiple visits, right?
Like, I've heard that. I've also read that the long range RFID, because it runs on a battery, they might not last forever, let's say.
Uh-huh. Well, because I know I've heard of people that are just wearing their wristbands like in their everyday life. It's just kind of like showing
I'm
Disney
surprised
pride
I haven't done that.
I'm surprised you haven't done
I
that.
I might do it tomorrow.
I'm actually very positive that when I get my band for my trip later this year, I'll be sporting my my RFID bat.
I might have to do that tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. So now so you guys get the bands, you go down. And now your band is now your everything, right? Like when you
yes.
went there, was it? When was the last time you were there?
Well, we were there in October. They were still in the testing phase. We did get Key to the Kingdom cards as a backup
in case
the bands did not work, but of
okay.
course they did. I saw many, many, many people bringing their boxes with them in the airport.
Oh, really?
Yes, which is silly. You just put your bands on and wear them from jump
wear them onto the plane,
know?
Right?
Yep, wear them on the plane because they are good to go as soon as you get there.
That's
a matter of fact, that's how we got on Magical Express. I will tell you this.
You use them for Magical Express?
I did not realize until the night before I was leaving, I had not secured Magical Express. Now, of course, you can go there and just jump online.
You mean you just hadn't booked it?
I forgot to go and make the reservation, if you want to call it that,
okay.
for it. When I got there, I attempted to tell the lady at the counter this, and she was like, nope, just scan the band, and we just went right through.
That's awesome, because it's got your reservation on it.
Everything is on there, every information they need.
And see, I got to give Disney credit for that, because you're really simplifying the process. The less stuff I have to carry with me into the parks, the happier I am, because my wife doesn't carry anything. So I've always got the back. We always bring a backpack. And
I do, too.
Yeah, I've always got the backpack on. It's got the plastic baggies in there for when you go on Splash Mountain. Put your phone in the plastic baggie so it doesn't get, you know, it doesn't get wet
right,
or whatnot.
Right.
But if I don't have to get, I mean, my wallet is like the size of like a baseball, a softball at this point, because I just have so much stuff in my wallet.
I pare down the wallet the night before I leave.
Yeah. Well, now, I mean, all I got to take is like my ID, you know,
right.
my ID and my wristband, because the wristband also functions as your like charge to the room card, right? Like they have them on the.
Yeah, I did not do that. I never did it back in the day. I never linked my credit card to the my
Key
to Kingdom card anyway. But I don't quite know why I don't.
I always do it, but it comes back to bite me in the end, because they don't charge it until you check out.
Correct.
So like I'll be like you know, I'll lose track of how much I'm spending. And which I'm sure is partly intentional.
Right.
I'll lose track and then we'll check out. And like we're getting on the plane and all of a sudden I get like a text message. Your account is overdrawn by $300. Like,
too late for returns at that point. You're on your way.
Yep. There are the souvenirs are already shipped to your house.
Yeah, the free spending in a store like Tatooine Traders is
yes.
Sometimes it gets you.
Build your own lightsaber and whatnot.
I built two this time.
I wanted to be the Rebel Spy so badly. I know you were the Rebel Spy.
Yeah, once. My first time.
Yeah, I wanted to be it so badly because then they got that shirt that says I was the Rebel Spy.
I have one of those.
Yeah, and my wife was like, why don't we just buy you the shirt if you want? And I was like, because I wasn't the Rebel Spy. Like, I can't lie. I can't lie to Walt.
Yeah, it's not cool. I agree with that.
Oh, absolutely not. You can't buy that shirt unless you are the Rebel
Spy.
You should
have to prove you were the Rebel Spy.
Absolutely. You should have to, like show a video of the actual encounter with Vader.
Except that would be breaking the rules and taking a video.
Yes, and nobody does that, ever, because that would be bad. Okay, so now, with the My Magic Plus, a large part of that is the My Disney Experience app.
Right.
Big news come out of this last week. The My Disney Experience app got a massive overhaul. It's got a new front screen, a new setup, and the functionality is increased like exponentially. You can move between wait times much faster. I mean, like, I've got it on my phone right now. Really quick, just to take a look at it. I mean, I'm seeing the wait times right now, and I can go between parks. I can go between attractions really, really easily. By the way, it's a small world as of like 10 minutes ago. What did we say? Like 105. It's now 15 minutes.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
Maybe
I wonder
someone added a zero where they shouldn't have.
Maybe.
I do find that the wait times are remarkably accurate.
Yeah. And now your dining reservations are on this too, right? So you just walk up to the, you just walk right up and you scan your wristband and then you're in.
Yep.
I think that's unbelievable to me.
I meal plan usually.
As do I. I think most people do.
Yeah, everything's on there.
That's phenomenal. So like it takes the place of your park key, your room key, your credit card if you choose to go that route. That's unbelievable.
I will say a lot of people, I've read a lot of negative comments about people who feel that Disney's watching your every move.
Well, they are.
Don't like it. Maybe it's me, and I'm such a shill for Disney at this point. I don't mind that they know where I'm going.
That's the thing. Like, I know darn well that they are tracking my spending habits, and they're watching what attractions I'm going to and using it for case studies. I don't care. I'm waving to the security cameras if I knew where they
were. Yeah, if it makes it better, I'm all for it.
Because here's the thing. Like, when I'm in Disney World, I trust everybody. Maybe that's a fault of mine, but like, if you're wearing a cast member badge, I'm like, hey buddy, like, you're my friend basically.
Sure.
I have family members that are cast members, I have friends that are cast members, and I really think you get a special type of person as when you have cast members.
Well, even as a parent, I mean, we teach our kids that. I'm sure every family that goes does. Mm-hmm. God forbid you get lost,
right,
or get separated. It hasn't happened, knock wood, but if that does happen, you find a cast member. And my kids know how to distinguish a cast member from, someone else in the parks. So.
Now, do you do the thing like where you're, before you go, like, I've heard tale that like one precaution a lot of parents take is like they'll take a picture of their kid with their cell phone to see like right before they get in the park. So they'll be like, this is my kid. This is what they're wearing.
You know, I don't, but I'm the dad who's taking 1,500 pictures on a trip anyway.
Right.
So odds are by the time we have reached the park gate, I have already taken multiple pictures.
That's
of them.
True. That's true.
So it's not an issue.
Yeah. Now that we live in the era of the cell phone camera, it's,
And I bring multiple digital cameras. I have all sorts of cameras for different.
Yeah. Do you bring a video camera too, or do you just take it on your?
I do.
I just took my video on my cell phone last time and it came out remarkably well. The iPhones have a great camera.
I do bring a video camera and I make a movie afterwards. My kids are very into that. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. See, because like, when I was a kid, like when my wife and I are gearing up for a trip, we watch those old videos.
Oh, we do same thing.
You know, but like they're my old videos. We have the one of our 2009 trip when we went. Our last trip, I was taking the cell phone videos, and then of course something happens to that phone, you lose them. But I didn't back it up; that was my fault. Where did you stay last time?
We stayed at Beach Club.
Awesome.
We had a pretty big group, so we stayed in a 2-bedroom villa. Is nice. We all kind of split the cost. It is worth it for the pool alone.
Oh yeah, the only pool you need a wristband to enter, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Not the My Magic Plus wristband, but
no,
that would probably work.
I'm sure that's how you can access it. But they give you a paper wristband.
Well, I remember when we first went to Beach Club, and this may bring the Disney secret police down upon my wife. She was like, "Let's go in this pool," and I was like, "We can't go in this pool. We don't stay here." And she was like, "Let's go to the gift shop and buy bathing suits and go in this pool." I'm like, "We can't." Like, I am Mr. Straight and Narrow when we're in Disney. I do not want to break even the slightest rule.
No, you have to obey the Disney rules.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I get very upset with people that do break the rules. Like, if I see people taking flash photography in Pirates, they get the glare. they get the disapproving stare from me.
And by glare, you mean at the back of their head.
Yes. they can feel it. They know it's there.
That is the worst. I think it's funny that I get so upset about that. But
well, you know what's actually really funny is, like, you see such a broad range of parenting around Disney, too. Like, when you just, you ever, like, sit in Disney and just people watch?
Oh, sure.
Maybe in the era before you had kids? Yeah. We do that all the time. Like, we'll sit on a bench outside Casey's or something like that and just watch people on Main Street. Or just sit on, like, on the curb. Or, like, when you're waiting for parades or fireworks, it's an opportune time to just watch the people around you. Right after we got engaged in front of the castle, went immediately onto Dumbo, because that's always the first thing I got to do. And then we went to Cosmic Rays right afterwards.
Okay, love Cosmic Rays.
Yeah, so we're in Cosmic Rays, and we're sitting at the table, and at the table next to us, there is this child that is screaming, and the parents are doing nothing. They're literally just sitting there eating their hamburger. Like, when I was a kid, had I been screaming at a public place like that, you know, that's when my father picks you up by the scruff of the shirt and takes you outside
right.
and gives you the talking to. But, you know, it's like, it's a different style of parenting. Just let them cry themselves out. I may not agree with that because, you know.
Well, as a parent.
You're disturbing other people.
The rule of parents, you don't tell someone else how to parent their kids. And every situation's different. My kids have never had the meltdown in Disney, so maybe I'm due for it next trip. But
you know what? I think for me, like, we had just gotten engaged. So the question of kids is obviously going to be coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's the next
question. And that was the next thing we saw. So it was actually, like, really, really funny. But, you know, I won't go during the summer. I'll only go in the times where I know the crowds are going to be light.
My wife, after when my son was in school, started school, right before kindergarten, she made the decree that we have to go during the summertime now because he's not going to be taken out of school.
Right.
And I know this is a hot topic for people. Some people, you know, fall on this side of the fence. So I said, all right, we will go in June right after he's done 3K4, right before kindergarten. We went in June. We were in Orlando, I'm going to say for 6 hours before my wife said this was a horrible mistake. It is not fun.
No. My family used to go the last week of August.
I've been in August. Oh, I went in August twice. My first trip was in August.
Balmy.
And we were young kids. You know, we were early 20s. And we really went because we wanted to go on vacation together. We had not yet been bitten by the Disney bug. We went. It was obviously wonderful. Apparently, because it was wonderful, I didn't notice how hot it was. Mm-hmm. Because the next August, I'm like, we should go again. And we did. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's really hot. So I think by then I had accepted the sheer, you know, triple digit weather as being a bad thing.
I try to go strategically in September, right smack dab in the middle of September, where everyone should be back in school by this time. Because my train of thought is very few parents are pulling their kids out of school like the first week of school.
Exactly.
However,
I would like to do that, but I'm one of those parents.
Yes, but I miscalculated the first year because I didn't take the Jewish holidays into account, the Jewish high holidays, because you never know when they're, you know, unless you, like, look, because they're not the same day every year. So I got hit with a Jewish holiday long weekend.
Right.
And I was like, what is going on right now? Because, like, we got there that day, and it was barren, deserted. Like, we were one of the only people there. We walked on everything, not even a skosh of a line in one area. And then Friday hit. And it was just, and Friday hits, it's shoulder to shoulder people, and it's Animal Kingdom. So it's the hottest of the parks. It's usually the most densely packed.
Right.
I was starting to grumble, and then my wife knows me very, very well, and even back then, and just put me right on a bus and right up to the Magic Kingdom, because she knows that's my happy place.
And that was less crowded?
It wasn't that it was less crowded, it's just that I'm happier there.
My week of choice is first week of December.
That's actually when I'm going next.
Yeah, me too, actually. Most people do not finish Thanksgiving dinner and then decide to go on vacation. Most people go Christmas shopping.
Right.
So it is not. Now, the days of the parks being empty, I feel, are gone. I mean, Disney is just, it seems in the last 5-6 years, it's always busy. But that week is not as busy, let's say, as some of the more peak times.
Right. I mean, just to be able to, let's say, get on to, say, Splash Mountain with less than 20 minutes of a wait.
Right.
That's what I dictate as being.
Although I will say, my last trip, the wait times were completely skewed from what I was used to because of the wristbands and the fast pass system. Everything
which we're
changed.
About to get. Yeah, let's get into that right now. So we've been talking a lot about all the great things that are happening due to these wristbands. The FastPass Plus system, in theory, works wonderfully. However, I know you have some reservations.
There's
about
one
this.
Drawback.
So take me through the drawback.
And I blame myself because I feel that I have mastered the FastPass system so well,
right,
that I maximize it. I feel if you're going to Disney, you should maximize your meal plan, maximize FastPass. You need to maximize these things.
Get the most bang for your buck.
Of course. And now being limited to 3 FastPass Plus.
Right.
For a family of 4 on a full 12-hour day in the Magic Kingdom.
With 2 very small children.
Yes. That is slightly a hindrance.
Okay. Yeah, and the thing that bugged me the most, I mean, the 3, I can deal with the 3 because it's just me and my wife. Like, I could probably get through with the 3. What I don't like is because, you know, we do our first 4 days will always be 1 park a day.
Right.
With the exception of maybe like at the end, if we have a dining reservation or something like that later in the day, we'll jump back to another one. But you can't park hop with the FastPass Plus.
No,
it's 1 park per day.
Pick 1 park.
And especially for me, because like I do those first 4 days, and then whatever I have left over after those 4 days, that is whatever we feel like. Like, I don't plan those days out. So now I have to.
How do you do your meals?
Oh, well, we plan that out.
Oh, okay.
We know where we're going for
you
that.
You must
so,
know what parks
so,
you're going
to. Yeah, I mean, like, I usually save my resort meals for those
okay,
days.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like, I know day one's Magic Kingdom, so I know we're doing, it used to be Crystal Palace. I don't even remember what we did last
Whoa,
time.
No Crystal Palace last time?
No, we didn't do, no, because we had the quick service plan last time. We went the quick service plan. And so I think we just did, like, quick service food that night. So, yeah, I know Crystal Palace. And this time I'm going to attempt for Be Our Guest first night. A friend of mine who's a Disney travel agent was telling me, you might not get Be Our Guest first night because, you know, your first night is someone else's, like, last
right.
night.
Right, with the plus 10 rule, it's easier to look for it later in your trip.
Exactly, that's what he was telling me, which is probably, you know, as long as I get it at some point, I'll be fine. I mean, we'll always get it for counter service. We'll do counter service probably the first day there. But probably
have you seen the line for Be Our Guest counter service?
No, I haven't. Is it massive?
Yes. Okay. I will say last time I was there, it started. I walked by it at about 10:30, and it was insane.
Oh, my God. So I know that day one is Magic Kingdom. I know day 2 is Epcot. I know to plan something either in Epcot or the surrounding resorts. I know day 3 is Studios. I know day 4 is Animal Kingdom. After that, it's anybody's ball game. You know, like, what do we feel like doing? All I know is that the last park we go to on the last day will be Magic Kingdom again.
Right.
Because I like to bookend it.
I love the fact that it makes the planners, you know, have a little bit of an advantage. I consider myself a planner. I mm-hmm. book my meals 180 days out.
Oh, I do too.
I normally know, you know, my trip a year out. I mean, I'm a planner. That's half the fun for me. I do like that it kind of gears towards us. I just think that the lack of FastPass per day, you know, hurts the planner in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Well, because, like, well, like, take me through how you normally utilize the FastPass system when you're in the parks. Like with the paper FastPasses. What do you, like, how intricate is the plan?
You know, it's a plan of I will take the onus on myself to, while they are getting a character picture or stopping for a snack, I will run to the next thing we want to FastPass, get our fast passes, and then meet everyone back.
Gotcha.
So we always have a fast pass going at all times.
And there's no way on the day of to add to, like, you can change your fast passes.
You can change them, yeah, which is nice.
Okay, you can change them using the app or the kiosks.
Yeah, you are not penalized. Let's say you miss your time.
Uh-huh.
You are not penalized for something that you have missed.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, you can legitimately use your 3 fast pass.
Okay. But you can't, that's the thing, is just no, with it, there being no, see, I feel like it should be, like, you can use up, like, your 3 beforehand, but on the day of, maybe you should get, like, an extra at least 2, if not 3. Like,
yeah.
Like, just on the fly, be able to go on your phone, be like, Pirates, fast pass, you know, like, that's my dream, to be able to fast pass something while in line for something else, you know? And I mean, I was like you, I was always like, all right, let's, you know, let's go to Mickey, let's fast pass Winnie the Pooh. And go to PhilharMagic and right. then come, you know, like, it was strategic. There was a strategy to it. And because you never also knew what, you know, I mean, you can always, if you know Disney, you know where the crowds are probably going to be. I mean, Peter Pan always has a massive line.
Always.
It's, you know, Small World, it's hit or miss with the line. You know, the mountains are always going to have a line. Soarin'.
See, but I'll give you an example. When we made our Magic Kingdom Fast Pass, I chose to use two of them on the new Storybook Princess.
That was going to be my next question for you, is now that you only have three,
right,
are your days of fast passing character spots over?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I love character spots. I have a five-year-old girl. She wants to meet, you know, both sides of the princesses. So I thought I would use that because Pirates of the Caribbean is not going to have a crazy wait. And when I got there, I was stunned that rides that traditionally move fast and do not have long waits had very long waits. Waits I was not prepared for.
Uh-huh. And when that happens, it's good to be able to have the freedom to fast pass.
Yes.
Which, you know, now I feel like it's kind of been taken away. But you got to think that, you know, Disney is very good at listening to the people. And I feel like maybe by the time we go, you know, towards November, December, maybe we'll have something in place to counteract this, this, you know, three fast passes.
Well, they also say that this is, the entire thing is intended to even out the wait times of all the rides.
Do you think it will, though? We don't get to see the, you know, the studies that they do. So, but okay, so three fast passes in each park.
Really, the only dilemma is Magic Kingdom.
You think that's
absolute dilemma? Yes, okay. Especially with all the new things.
Then let's save that for last. Animal Kingdom. What are your three?
Dinosaur.
Okay.
Although honestly, early in the morning, probably not needed.
Yeah.
Expedition Everest.
Of course.
Third one.
Cali?
No. You know, I haven't been on Cali River Rapids in forever.
Really?
Again, going...
You don't like getting all wet.
Going in December, sometimes it will be 60s, which is a wonderful time to hit the parks.
Uh-huh.
Not a wonderful time to be soaked.
Gotcha.
So I will sometimes use that third one. I think we actually used it this past trip on the Nemo musical, which I did for the first time.
You could fast pass that?
Yeah. They've added many fast pass
pieces. You had never done that before this last
I'd
trip?
Never done it.
That show made me cry.
I didn't love it.
Really? No. I loved it. I thought it was phenomenal. Really? As a dad, you didn't love it.
Yeah, I know. Odd.
Because, like, all I could think of the entire time in there is my dad, and I'm just like, oh, I love my dad so much.
I think the worst thing was, maybe because I hadn't done it for so long and people speak so highly of it, I had really built it up. So when
I've
I did
got the
it,
soundtrack on my phone, like, you know.
I do like soundtrack.
That Go With The Flow song when they're on the when they bring Crush out, and oh, my God, that it's awesome.
Oh, you know what? Let me take it back. The most important Fast Pass is the Safari.
I was just going to say, because my three are the Safari, Everest, which, by the way, never done.
Interesting.
I've never done Well, that's also because my wife's a chicken. But
so am I, actually.
She has said that she will do it. Because I explained it to her. I'm like, it's like Big Thunder. Don't worry about it. She loves Big Thunder.
Right. Nice way to lie to her.
I know. Hopefully she doesn't listen to this. I was like, I said picture of Big Thunder went backwards. Like, yeah. I would use it for Everest. And if it's hot, I would use it for Kali. If it's not, I would probably go Dinosaur, like you said. I would never fast pass Nemo. I think I could just wait for that. When the shows are, it's just strategically getting in line for it.
I think the Safari is the most important one. I think Everest and Dinosaur, honestly, if you go early enough, they pack so many people in the ride. It's not, you don't necessarily even need a fast pass.
Well, and here's what I take into account when I'm trying to strategically think of what my three fast passes are going to be. I'm thinking, is this usually an attraction that's going to have a long line? But then I'm thinking of what is the queue like?
Yeah. That's definitely important.
If you got an interactive queue, I see no reason to fast pass Dumbo when you have kids.
Right. Because
they can just play. They can just play in that awesome air-conditioned circus.
Yeah, it is very cool.
There's no need, you know, like, if there's an interactive queue, I don't need to fast pass it because there's enough in line where the queue itself becomes an attraction in and of itself.
Sure.
And there's something I love about Disney is that you can find attractions in places you didn't expect to find them. Like, I know Lou Mangiello says it all the time, and I've been saying it since even before I knew there was a Lou Mangiello, is that I think the monorail itself is an attraction.
I can agree with that. There was a time not that long ago, not on the last trip, I believe the trip before that, my wife, we had come to the Magic Kingdom, but we could not see the Magic Kingdom from where we were on the monorail, where it stopped. And she was like, no, this isn't it. It's the next one. Even though I knew, this is it. So it was early in the morning, and I'm like, you know what? Okay, we will stay. The doors closed, and we passed the train station. And I'm like, oh, look. But at the same time, the four of us had no problem staying for an entire loop, resort loop, to come back to Magic Kingdom.
I've done it.
Who doesn't love the monorail?
I've done it. I've taken the monorail around a loop just to do it.
Absolutely.
When I stayed with my family at the Polynesian back in 2003, when I was 18, there was one time where I was just like, I'm just going to go around again. You know, the boats, I feel the boats are an attraction. The ferries, the shuttle transports. I mean, you could find so many, like looking for hidden Mickeys is an attraction. We could do a whole show on this, and we probably will.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so that's Animal Kingdom. Studios, what are you fast passing?
Studios.
If you say Star Tours, I might fight you. Because I can't ever fast pass Star Tours.
Why wouldn't you fast pass Star Tours?
Is my favorite queue in Disney. When we go to Star Tours and there's no line.
It's funny you say that because I got to be honest with you. The standby line last time I was there multiple times in the ride moved faster than the fast pass line.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. Like, I want to wait in Star Tours. Like, I do. Like, when we went through last time and, like, we got to, like, 3PO and R2, right, when you walk in.
Right.
You know, my wife's going to charge ahead, and I said, wait, stop. And, like, people were coming behind us. I was like, go, you can pass. Like, I let people go ahead of us because I wanted to stay and listen to what they had to say. I want to see Captain Rex.
You got to see Rex.
You know, by the way, in the pre-Clone Wars world, Captain Rex was the lovable but somewhat bumbling robot pilot of Star Tours and not a super awesome clone commando.
Also voiced by Paul Reubens.
Yes. Absolutely.
I miss that.
I do too. Sorry about this, folks. Like, I absolutely love it. So, yeah, I'll never fast pass Star Tours because I just feel like the queue is such an attraction. There's so many robots that talk to you and little hidden things you can find, like, as you go through.
I agree, but there's no way you or I are ever doing that one time in a day at Hollywood Studios. I mean, I will fast pass it maybe to get through it as a family, and then...
I'm not going with kids, so, yet.
You know, other choices. I mean, I would say Rock and Roller Coaster for my son.
Okay.
My son and my wife love that ride. Right. I would probably do that.
Do you go on it?
I do not.
Stay off with your daughter?
Yeah, I'm not a crazy roller coaster person. My daughter's 5. She has no interest.
You know what? In a world, in the Disney world, where there are not a lot of crazy roller coasters, that is one of the craziest roller coasters you will ever find.
Yeah, then people like it.
And right, 0 to 60, right into the dark. First thing you hit is a loop.
My son loves it. I'm positive he does not even open his eyes, but he loves it.
Probably not.
So, I mean, what's the third choice there?
Okay, so what was your first choice?
I would probably be Star Tours. Sorry, Kevin.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness.
You know what?
Still my heart.
We missed the biggest one. Toy Story Mania.
Of course! Yeah, that's the one you have to do.
Is the one.
Yeah, so you're going Toy Story,
mm-hmm.
Star Tours, and... or are you taking Star Tours back?
Nah, you know what? I mean, I'd probably leave it on there.
And Rockin', you're not going to do... Well, see, like... Tower of Terror, I've never actually been on it. Again, I know I'm ashamed.
I don't do it either. My wife likes it. My son has been on
it. But I've heard the queue is spectacular.
Yes.
So maybe it's something I would want to wait in. For studios, I feel like I would go... God, what would I do? I would. My wife's not going to do Rock and Roller Coaster, and I'm not going to do it by myself. So I would say I've convinced her now the next time we're going to go on Tower of Terror. So I'm going to go Tower of Terror.
Okay.
Toy Story Mania, obviously. That's the first one. You gotta hit it right away. What else is there? I'm trying to think.
And Star Tours.
No, not Star Tours. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. I would do Great Movie Ride before I did Star Tours.
Well, you know, again, funny you said that. Great Movie Ride, wonderful example of a ride that never has an insane wait when I go.
Uh-huh.
The wait time was bananas last time.
When exactly did you go? It was October,
we went in October,
right?
Yeah, it's not a very crowded time of year.
No.
But the new...
Was there extra magic hours that day or something?
Nope.
Or?
The Fastpass Plus system has kind of thrown off some of the rides as far as, you know, fast passing.
So there's a whole new ball game out there for us to learn.
Yeah. It was not easy.
So maybe I would do Great Movie. If Great Movie Ride had a... I would call an audible.
I would think you would do Muppets just because you could say...
Can you Fastpass Muppets?
I think you can now.
I don't think so.
I thought you could.
Why would you?
I know. Well, but why would you fast pass any of the shows?
I've gone into Muppets before, and I'm a huge Muppet fanatic. I've gone into Muppets, and like I always want to look for the key under the mat. I was under the impression that I think it used to be like if you were the first person that found the key, you can like pick it up and give it to a cast member and get like some kind of like prize for it. But now the key is glued to the ground.
Right.
So when we got to studios last time, or I think it was back in 09 when we went, we bolted right for the Muppets, and I pulled that mat back, and I saw that key, and I reached for it, and it was like it was like Hulk trying to pick up Thor's hammer. It was like, no, like I thought it, like the Muppets were deeming me unworthy, but no, it's just, you know, glued to the. There's so many, but I've gone into the Muppets like staging area. And like we'll walk in like halfway through the pre-show, and I'll tell my wife we're waiting. We're not going in. We're gonna wait for the next group because I want to watch the whole pre-show.
I did watch the entire pre-show. Oh, this
it's
past
phenomenal.
Trip.
I think when it opens up, it's just like the rats dancing around. Yep. And so like I love that. And you know, there's so much. We can again do an entire show on just that queue area and all the things like the Annette Filagello. And the Jim Henson Muppet, and the Kermit is Bruce Springsteen. I mean, it's two of my favorite things in this world, Kermit and Bruce. Like, the Kermit is Bruce Springsteen, I always get a picture with that. So that's something like, again, never would fast pass it. I don't see the need to fast pass a show.
No, we always do the Beauty and the Beast show. It is a staple for my family.
Never done it.
You will love it. It is, ironically, opened the same day as Beauty and the Beast was released theatrically.
Really?
Yep.
My wife's favorite Disney movie is Beauty and the Beast.
A lot of people,
I
imagine.
She wants to do it. I don't believe we've never done it, actually.
It is great. We do it every single time. My kids absolutely love it.
How long is it?
Half an hour.
It's like, so it's a very abridged version
of the story. Yeah, they just bang the songs out. It's wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah, it's always, I mean, the songs tell the story in Beauty and the Beast.
They do.
So, I mean, really, they just give you the songs, and you get the whole movie.
Is Human again in there?
No.
Okay. That wasn't really released until the Blu-ray.
Right, and it is still the same show you saw
right
when it
the
came
day
out.
That it opened, yep. Which I like. I like that they're not touching that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's studios. Let's go over to Epcot.
Epcot, I think, is...
Can I see if I can guess yours?
I think it's easy.
Test Track, obviously.
Obviously.
You're a Test Track guy.
Correct.
I'm going to go Soarin' because...
That's a must.
Yeah. Mission Space?
No, never really has a crazy Nemo. Weight. Same thing.
There's nothing going on in that queue.
Yeah,
I mean, it's visually very appealing, but there's really nothing going
on in
there.
I've never seen a line for Nemo, ever.
First time I went, there was a line.
Really?
Yeah.
We were there when they opened it in previews, and there was no line.
Really?
I've never really seen a crazy line for that. Third pick in Epcot? It's interesting. I would, of course, want to take a look at the new choices they've offered.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if we picked the Maelstrom.
I was just going to say, do you think anyone's still picking Maelstrom?
A lot of times there's a big line for that, right?
Is Maelstrom really, like if I went by Maelstrom, and I enjoy Maelstrom, and I think it's a very good attraction, it's not something that's going to ruin my day if I don't get to it.
See, I will say there have been times where, oops, we have forgotten to go on it on a trip, and it has...
We're going back!
that is my reason for why we must go back immediately. Yeah. You know, it's everyone wishes we did it.
Really?
Yep.
I only did it once. I didn't do it the last time we were there.
You only done it once.
Yeah, I only did it once, and then we actually we got a very disapproving stare from the nice Norwegian gentleman that was guarding the door at the end, because we got in and it was like, now stay tuned for a 20-minute video about Norway, and we were like, can we just leave? Like, we were like, we did the ride. Do we have
no,
to?
No. Yeah.
The
no
video?
One stays for it.
And he just kind of gave us like a, well, if you must, like. You know, I felt
you
bad.
Should take your wife on that before going on Everest, because that ride goes backwards.
Oh yeah, it does.
Briefly.
Yeah.
So that'd be a little precursor.
Well, Maelstrom
her.
Was one of those things that I never knew was even there until my 2009 trip.
Oh, interesting.
And I saw it and I was like, because when I was there with my family, the time before that was 2003. So there was about a 6-year gap. And I don't know when Maelstrom was put in, but I assume it was there in 2003 when I was there.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm like, I think that's a ride. And she's like, really? I didn't think there were rides in World Showcase. And I'm like, oh, let's go. So, you know, I mean, well, there's three Caballeros also.
Right. And they're right next door to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So I enjoyed it, but it's not something that makes or breaks my trip.
No. But again, you know, if you can knock out the big two in Epcot, Test Track and Soarin, which are absolute musts.
Uh-huh. So you're going Maelstrom for your third. You don't do
yes.
Mission Space?
I did Mission Space last time.
Okay,
it doesn't have a crazy weight.
Do you go the hardcore version or the tame version?
No, please. I am a tame version person, especially taking my 8-year-old on it this time.
Yeah, my wife wants to do the tame. We've never done Mission Space. We never did Mission Space, never did Test Track because, again, she's kind of a sissy when it comes
crazy
to this
talk.
Kind of stuff. But she has said she I don't know, something. There must be something in the coffee that I'm putting in, because now she's just like, yeah, I'll do this, I'll do that. Like, I'll do, I'll do Test Track, I'll do Mission Space. She still wants to go on with a green. Is the tame version. I'm just like, let me experience the orange. Like, I want to know what it's like.
I will say my wife, when she wants my son to try rides, will frequently say, oh, well, if we went back to Disney, I would need someone to ride Rock and Roller Coaster with. And it did work to get him to be like, okay, I'll do it if we go back. And then she holds him to his word.
Do you have to convince him to go on certain things?
Rides that I know he wants to go on, but he also wants to chicken out. Rock and Roller Coaster is a wonderful example. He loves it now.
When my family went in 96, I remember saying how much I wanted to do Tower of Terror. And we got there, and I looked at it, and I chickened right out. My dad calls me on it, too. He calls me on it. He takes a video camera right in my face, and he's just like, "It's like, here we go. It's right there. Let's go do it." Like, he knew perfectly well that I wasn't going on that ride. And he was like, come on, all you've said leading up to this is you want to go on Tower of Terror. And I was like, oh, I never said that. And yeah, he just kind of like died there.
A nice bit of footage there.
Yeah. I actually still have the footage. He's like, oh, someday your children will watch this. Do you really want them to see their father like this?
I will say my son very early wanted to go on that. I want to say 5, but I honestly was probably 6. My wife was iffy about letting him go on it. But he went and he did it and was terrified. And that was the last time he went on it. And it's not that he's kind of too scared to go on it at this point. I just think he would rather ride Rock and Roller Coaster multiple times than, at this point, go on Tower of Terror.
Well, I redeemed myself in those kinds of situations when we went in 2003 with my family. Because my brother, I was 18, my youngest brother was 8. And he wanted to do everything. He was the opposite of me. The first time my family went, I was 2 years old. And I didn't want to do anything. I wanted to sit in the stroller and not go on the Dumbo ride.
Right.
I wanted to watch the Dumbo ride.
That's understandable.
Watch it go round and round. That's all we did.
Disney's
apparently
a little overwhelming.
Yeah, my parents don't let me forget that I made them do that. Every single time the subject is brought up, it's like, oh, he made us sit and watch.
But would
Dumbo
you meet
ride
characters?
Yes. My first memory, it's a tactile memory. I remember the feel of Mickey Mouse's glove. I remember like feeling a little knot where the stitching comes together. It's my very first memory. I think that's one of the reasons why Disney is such a special place for me. But yeah, I think Studios or Epcot, I'm going Soarin', because I love me some Soarin'. I duck when the golf ball comes. I'm not ashamed.
Love it. Me
first
too.
Time I did it, my wife laughed and I literally ducked. I love Soarin. I want to do Test Track for the first time, and I would like to do Mission Space for the first time. So those are my three.
My experience in the past trip with the lines being a little bit longer than I was used to, maybe because of Fastpass Plus, I would almost say Spaceship Earth, which I know sounds crazy. It never has a wait. It had a wait every day in Epcot that I was there last time.
I could see that.
And
you know,
my
son
loves
that
ride.
It's the first thing you see when you walk in the park, and I always forget that it's there. I mean, it's the icon of the park, but I always forget it's an actual attraction.
My son loves
it.
I mean, he's 8, so he's, you know, learning history, and he likes to know everything that's in there. He actually likes to, we ride it multiple times. He likes to ride it with different family members and talk to them about the things that are in there. So for him, it's probably his favorite ride in Epcot.
That's good. That's actually good because it's an educational, you know, experience. But
I do wish he got the Jeremy Irons version.
Yes. Yeah. Who is it now?
Dame Judi Dench.
Dame Judi Dench, yeah.
Thank the Phoenicians.
I always forget that it's like I always forget that it's an attraction. I always think of it as one of those visual weenies, which, by the way, that's what they're called. Every park has what Walt referred to as a weenie. It is the Sorcerer Hat in Studios, the Tree of Life in Animal Kingdom, Spaceship Earth in Epcot, and Cinderella Castle in the Magic Kingdom. It's that visual landmark that you can always associate with it. Okay, so now we get to the main event, the hard one. We are going to talk Magic Kingdom.
It's very difficult.
You have 3 fast passes. What do you do?
It's very difficult. It's almost... this is the park where having the app on your phone and going there and being able to change your fast pass is most important.
And audibles are definitely a must-have.
I'll give you a great example. When we were there last time, now I had my in-laws with me who are older, my sister-in-law with me. I knew everyone wanted to go on the new Little Mermaid ride. So we had a Crystal Palace breakfast first thing,
okay,
like you should, and then we went over there to use our fast pass.
I do Crystal Palace dinner.
I've never had the dinner.
Oh, it's so good. It's one of my favorites. Continue.
So we went over to the Little Mermaid, and there was a zero wait.
Oh.
So again, thank God I have the app.
Right. So like if you have the app and you see, okay, 0 minute wait for Little Mermaid, you can quickly change it to something
else. Right. You don't use your fast pass. You don't touch your band to the thing.
No.
Not using a fast pass, you're not penalized. So I changed it to something else. I believe it was Storybook Princess. So we
see, there's that's a point in time where I feel like I would utilize it for a character spot if what I already had is, you know, is taken.
Well, I mean, it happened again later in the day. My daughter, who's 5, is in love with Big Thunder Mountain. To her, that's the big roller coaster she goes on. She wants to ride it multiple times.
My wife, who is 28, agrees.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
So I fast-passed that.
That's her ride that she goes on where it's like, yeah, I conquered a roller coaster.
Yeah, she can like scream.
Come on.
So I fast-passed that, and that didn't have a crazy wait either. So
you call an audible.
I bet you the 3, I don't even remember what my 3 fast-pass were, but I bet you I changed all 3 of them.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. Okay, so going into the Magic Kingdom, what do you choose as your 3?
Well, again, it depends on your audience. Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, also, there will be a new attraction when you go in November.
I would definitely do that one.
Yeah, so we're talking Snow White's Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Anytime you have a new attraction, you can't anticipate what the wait time is going to be.
But, you know, and I feel like the vast majority of the park's standby attention will be fixated on that.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll probably help funnel it away from some of the other stuff.
Well, when we went, Talking Mickey was in Town Hall.
Yeah.
And for my children,
I can't wait to meet Talking Mickey.
Meeting Talking Mickey is the most important thing. So for me to not fast pass, I mean, I had to fast pass it. There's,
of course.
It's a no-brainer.
I'm sure there's a long wait for it, too.
But I would never, oh, it varies. I mean, depends on the time of the day.
Well, it also depends. I mean, like when we went to meet Mickey last time in Town Hall, we didn't. I didn't check the parade schedule, and if there's a parade going on, you know, Mickey's in the parade, so he's not in Town Hall.
A mouse can't be in two places at once.
Of course not, though he's, you know, here on Two Men and the Mouse at all times.
Again, I would never think to fast pass Haunted Mansion or Pirates.
I would never fast pass Haunted Mansion just because, again, the queue.
You like that new queue that much?
I love the queue for Haunted Mansion. You can't say anything about that. Because I also...
You're talking about the new stuff, the stuff that's outside.
Yes. I love it. I love it. Because, and I also know, like, I'm able to actually point to headstones and be like, oh, well, you know, this headstone is talking about this person and blah, 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 blah.
I do like that. I just, you know, if you're going to give me the choice, you can go through the new queue or you can walk straight into the building. I would walk straight into the building. And I like the queue. I've done it. I've done it with my kids. I've done it at night, which I think is way better. I think it's fun and creepy.
See, I always love to point out, like, the horseshoes are upside down. Right. And, like, the, you know, the black wreath on the door and, like the significance of all that stuff.
Right.
I love to do that. That's why Haunted Mansion is my favorite attraction.
I agree with you. I mean, it is great. Again, I just think, you know, especially with children, you're trying to pack what you can into a day.
Yeah.
Concisely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I will give up the interactive queue to put more rides or attractions
like,
into my day.
Like, how do your kids like the Dumbo queue now?
You know, they like Dumbo in general. You know, there's so much going on. I think they kind of, it's not their favorite ride. I'll give you, last time we went, they could have played in the queue area or gotten right onto Dumbo because there really was not much of a wait.
Okay.
And I asked them if they wanted to play because it was, I believe it was actually, we were there for the Halloween party. And they chose just to go straight through to the ride.
Right, because the ride, I think the attraction itself is more exciting to a kid.
Right.
Okay, so wait, I'm sorry, have you named your 3 yet? Or
no,
are you still contemplating?
If I had to name a 3 for my next trip, if you had to
just like these are like not like these are the ones that are going to happen, just these are the ones that I'm going in prepared with.
I would definitely do Snow White Mine Car.
Right, of
course. I would probably do Big Thunder. Although, anticipate the fact that it might not have a crazy wait.
Yeah.
And for a third one, I would probably do Mickey at Town Hall.
Okay.
Just to secure it. Mickey typically has a wait. To secure it.
We differ on this park. We do. I'm
I figured
glad.
We would.
Well, I'm going to also go Seven Dwarfs Mine Train because Oh, excuse me. I'm also going to go Seven Dwarfs Mine Train because I feel like, as I sip some water, like I said, that's going to be insane in the first,
right?
You know. So we're going there. Then I'm doing probably Little Mermaid. We've never done it, and I want to be able to ensure that we're getting on it. If there's no way, I'll change it.
It is wonderful.
It's also one of my wife's favorite movies, so it's like a, like if we went the first day and I said we're not getting on this, like there would be a reckoning, and I would not come out of it very well. And then probably for the last one, I'm going to go Splash Mountain.
Okay.
At the end of the day, I don't think Big Thunder is going to have a line, and if it does, I'll just switch one of my others.
See, I would never do Splash, but only because my daughter is not going to ride it.
Yeah.
So that's where the difference is there. Or Space Mountain, same thing.
It's, well, it's... Would you then do, like, let's say you and your son will do a fast pass for Splash, but then you can maybe your wife and your daughter can go do the Princesses or something like that?
Well, it's tough because my son loves Disney. So to do something with just my son... For example, in the studios, my wife and son love going on Rock and Roller Coaster. In theory, I should do something with my daughter, Fast Pass, then, but my son wants to do it. Doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
He wants to do that also. So
right.
In that sense, that is also part of where the Fast Pass, the limit of three, hurts you a little bit.
What do you guys do when you, like when they're on Rock and Roller Coaster? You just hang out outside by the big guitar?
Well, my daughter is a five-year-old girl, so she likes to go in stores.
Okay.
She likes to look around.
So you take her into stores.
You can always bribe her with a snack of some sort.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I went Splash Mountain instead of Big Thunder just because typically Splash has the longer wait from what I've seen.
Right.
And I didn't go Space because, you know, with Space, I figured Interactive Queue. That's what did it for me.
Okay. I love those queues.
I do. Like, there's so, like, I feel like waiting in line can be definitely, and Disney really has the market cornered on that. The whole, like, waiting in line is part of the experience.
Oh, sure.
So, all right. So, you know, we've got our three. Real quick, I wanted to also touch on some things that are going on, in Disney now in our last 10 minutes. So, this time really flew. As I told you, it was.
Disney's easy to talk about.
Yes. Okay, so big news coming out of the parks this week is that they've started to take the construction walls down for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and people have gotten their first glimpse in at the landscape. And what we see are lush, like foresty trees, waterfalls. I mean, it looks spectacular.
Everything it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything I dreamed it would be. You know, it looks spectacular. And I want to touch on those walls for a second. Because I feel like those can be an attraction in and of themselves. Because they've done such a good job of putting characters on them. They've turned it into a photo hotspot.
I will say, I mean, I went multiple times during the construction of New Fantasyland. So I saw all the different kinds of walls. Mm-hmm. And even from the very beginning, when they had the Ariel pictures up there because she was going to have a new ride. And they had the Beast with all the birds on him because they were going to do Be Our Guest restaurant. My kids wanted pictures with the characters on the wall, which I scoffed at first and thought was funny. And then, no, it was a must.
Yeah, and I wanted pictures with the characters on the wall.
It was great.
When we were there last time. I had a great time, like, taking pictures next to the Seven Dwarves over there. And, you know, and it's also always fun to that, you know, to that little thing where, like, we were waiting in line for Winnie the Pooh. And I just, like, I stepped up on the, you know, on the thing, just trying to see over the wall. Like, there's always, like, that peak.
I thought the best thing they did was when they had the dwarfs, they had the planks of wood, if you will, but you could see through it, and you could see the construction site.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no way for Disney to hide this construction project, and they didn't really try to, and I thought it was a nice glimpse into the building of an e-ticket ride.
Yeah, and it was still steel the last time I was there.
Sure.
Like, it was still just metal jutting out of the ground. So I was so excited to see how far it's come. I mean, I've seen the virtual walkthrough of what it's going to be like and things like that. And I was sad to see Snow White's Scary Adventure go. I mean, as well as it was a little dated, I did love it.
I would like to agree with you, but I'm not sure I can. I don't know if I would care either way.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I need to go back. I need to rewind. Because I just realized Peter Pan's got to be one of my three fast passes in the Magic Kingdom.
But see, Peter Pan's about to get an interactive queue, isn't it?
Is it?
I believe so.
I hadn't heard that. Oh, if that's the case, then.
I'm almost positive it is.
Oh, very, very cool. Then I don't.
So now that line will go from about 60 minutes to about 100, but you will be happy.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be entertained. So, you know, now that's being. Also, walls have come down showing the new walkways outside Casey's Corner over on Main Street, USA.
Right.
Which, you know, I'm always all for things that change the landscape. This is not an earth-shattering announcement, but it's, you know, it's still going to be something nice to look at, which I'm looking forward to.
That's one of the joys of Magic Kingdom.
It's always changing. Yep. And that's the thing. Like, Walt never wanted him to be a museum. They never wanted him to be a painting. It's got to be a living, breathing, changing, evolving thing. Some closings coming up. Where are you staying in November, by the way?
Haven't decided.
Well, I would recommend not going to the Poly.
I don't think I will be.
Okay, well, where were you going
to
stay?
I'm thinking Caribbean Beach this time. I would like to go for more days, so I think I'm going to go moderate.
Yeah.
It was my first hotel we ever stayed at, so I always have a fondness for it.
We're actually going to do Port Orleans Riverside in the Royal guest rooms.
Oh, we did the Royal rooms.
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, they're nice.
But
they're in a good section, too.
Now, I'm sure the vast majority of the listening audience, when I just said don't go to the Poly, were like, sacrilege. Disney, sacrilege.
How could you say that?
Well, one of the big draws for the Poly for me, and I've stayed there twice. Most recent time I stayed there with my wife in 2003, stayed there with my family. The Nanea Volcano Feature Pool will be closing in August and not opening again until 2015. Massive refurbishment on the volcano pool. So really the only pool you have left on the property is just the quiet pool.
But it makes you wonder how insanely wonderful is that pool going to be?
Oh, it's going to be. It's going to be. I think it's going to rival Beach Club when they're done with it. Right. I don't know what they're doing with it, but it's got me very excited. But I don't want to stay there and have that pool be closed.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Especially because then the quiet pool is going to be a not so quiet.
Again, depends on the time of year you go.
But I'm not sure if just the volcano is closing or if the entire pool is closing. I didn't do my homework very well on that one. But I do know that it is part of the construction of the new Disney Vacation Club property on the Polynesian grounds.
Right.
Which, you know, excited to see. We'll probably never stay there.
Right, yeah, it seems par for the course for all the deluxe resorts.
Yeah, like everything needs to have a DVC resort on it now. But you don't need to be a DVC member to stay in a DVC resort. So,
I mean, Beach Club is a DVC resort,
yes,
but we stay all the time.
That's a long. August 2014 won't reopen until 2015. That's going to be well over six months.
That's a big refurb.
Yeah, like, so what could it possibly... I can only imagine. I can only imagine what it's going to be. They're going to make that... They're definitely going to make that rival the Beach Club pool, I think. I'm really looking forward to it.
I don't know if they have space for that.
Well, you never know.
You don't realize how big that Beach Club pool is.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, maybe... I think the slide is definitely going to get some kind of refurb.
Right.
Also closing on the 22nd of February is the Downtown Disney Marketplace Boat Dock. Coming down for the construction on the Disney Springs Marketplace Causeway Bridge, which will link the Rainforest Cafe area over to T-Rex. Again, not earth-shattering, but worth noting.
Yeah.
Also, construction has begun on a new ferry boat dock at the Ticket and Transit Center.
I've never taken the ferry there.
You've never taken the ferry from the Transportation Ticket Center?
No, where do you take it from?
You take it right from the TTC. You get on it right there to the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that was I've been told the first time I went when I was 2 years old, that's how we got in. But I always make it a point, like, if we're going to go later in the trip, let's say we're in Animal Kingdom. Like the day I mentioned before, we were in Animal Kingdom. It was hot and it was crowded. My wife whisked me off to Magic Kingdom. We didn't take the bus to the Magic Kingdom. We took the bus to the TTC.
And then took
the ferry? Took the
ferry
boat.
In lieu of the monorail?
Well, we'd done the monorail already.
Oh, see, I will never pass up a monorail trip.
I need to experience the ferry boat at least one time while we're there.
Interesting.
And I like the TTC. I mean, yes, it's a parking lot. It's a parking lot and a bus stop, but I enjoy it.
I like that it has unique garbage cans.
It does.
I like that. You know how I feel about the garbage cans.
Okay, speaking of garbage cans, there's one thing we need to talk about.
I was hoping you weren't going
to
say this.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sorry to end on a somber note, but Push, the talking trash can, has left us. Contract dispute of some sort. And Push has performed his last show in Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland. And I say this with my voice quivering.
I cannot believe that this is where this will end.
Yeah, I love Push. Push is one of the first people, quote, to congratulate my wife and I on our engagement.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah, we got the just engaged buttons, like, right away. And well, I had actually come prepared with them with the hopes that she was going to say yes. But we got there and there's Push. And Push, like, he geeked out for it. Like, he went nuts. And, you know, Push is, you know, but while we were talking to Push, some kids were, like, kicking him. And Push kept turning around and, like, yelling at, like, actually yelling at the kid.
Oh, that's great.
He literally turns around and tells the kid to stop. He turns back around to us, talks to us for a little bit. Kids start kicking him again. He turns around to the kid's parents. And it's just like, can you do something, please? Like, ugh, I love Push. Do you have any Push encounters memorable?
You know, no. Matter of fact, my kids have seen Push, but I think they are somewhat frightened of Push.
Because it's a talking, moving trash can.
Yes. So we have watched from afar. Okay. But, I mean, I feel like he's such a part of Tomorrowland.
Yeah, and I feel like he's been around for so long. But they actually, like, it was a rumor for a while that they were getting rid of Push. Then they released a statement that said Push isn't going anywhere.
Right.
Then somebody, and I don't know who it was, because this is a big no-no, took a screen cap of the cast member hub. And where under Push, it said attraction is permanently closed. So I'm going to hold out hope that the contract dispute will be resolved and that Push will rise once again.
That might be a negotiation ploy.
Yeah, it definitely could be because the outcry from Disney fans has been pretty incredible wanting Push back. I very much want Push back. That's going to about do it for the inaugural episode of Two Men and the Mouse. Pete, this was very enjoyable.
Yeah, it was a fast hour. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should do this again.
We will. We will. I'd say let's make it a weekly thing, or at least a bi-weekly thing.
I like that.
Folks, thank you so much for joining us here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Pete and I are very, very thrilled to be able to bring our love to Disney right into your earbuds, living room, computer, car, mobile device, whatever it is you might be using. I just hope that you take something you hear here today, it brought a smile to your face, that you'll be able to experience the magic wherever you are. Folks, for Peter Mandel, I'm Kevin Kessler. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at WhiteDragonPN.